Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of multifamily overload, time to simplify, eliminate, and automate. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the fabulous Mary Gwynn, the chief innovator at Apartment Dynamics. Welcome, Mary.
Oh, thank you, Paul. Always love to hear from you, listen to your talks, your show, and of course, I'm always honored to be a guest. Thank you.
Yeah, you are so welcome. We love having you as a guest because the topics that you discuss are so pertinent and important to everyone in multifamily. And one of the things that the benefits that you have and that you bring is that the things you discuss, you're actually doing within your own organization, Apartment Dynamics. So, and this topic is, as I mentioned to you before we got on the air, everybody I speak to in multifamily is overwhelmed and overloaded. And this is something that I think is going to be a consistent issue for a lot of reasons, because of the fact that there's a shortage of personnel out there, and people are covering for multiple positions in some cases. But let's talk about reducing pain points. That's what simplify, eliminate, and automate is designed to do. Correct.
Correct. That's exactly it. And Paul, this may not surprise you, but it was kind of a shock to me. According to a recent Swift Bunny employee engagement survey, 60% of employees say they've searched for a new, less stressful position. Think about that, 60%.
Wow.
And Harvard Business Review says that 30% of new employees leave their jobs within the first 90 days of being hired. Oh, man, those numbers alone are enough to cause you to pause and figure out what your team's pain points are and find ways to fix them, because otherwise we're just churning people all day long. So our goal in 2023 has been and continues to be reducing pain points for our team members.
And I guess, just for the benefit of our listeners, give your definition of what a pain point is and how you're able to determine what those are.
What is a pain point? Well, goodness gracious, it's anything that causes our team members to be frustrated, to feel like they don't know how to do their job, to feel like their jobs are never ending and painful, basically. And the way you identify them is really just to listen, or that's the most important part of it. Listen to your team, listen to individual employees. Especially when we bring on new regionals on our team, I always tell them the money is made or lost on property. It is not in the ivory tower of our home office. Mm-hmm. And so I tell them to be on site where they can see what our team members are experiencing. They can ask them questions. They can remove hurdles, basically. I tell our regionals their primary function is to remove hurdles for our team. But again, you don't know what those are unless you're out there and listening. And we have other ways that we try to listen, but spending time on site is probably the most important. I try to call at least one or two of our team members a week, just random people, some people that I haven't even had a chance to meet yet, and just listen to them, get to know them, see what's going on with them. But I think one of the most profound things we've done this year was we started an employee-led task force called C, Simplify, Eliminate, and Automate. And our director of strategic operations is head of that, Tracy Beck. And so they meet by Zoom, which is, I guess, the simplest way for us to get together right now. But they meet to talk about things that our team members have recommended we look at or to brainstorm new ideas. And let me tell you, when you ask people if they want to volunteer to get rid of some stuff, they volunteer for that. And we also have... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, like I said, I imagine they would volunteer. I mean, that's a rare opportunity to be able to be kind of on the board of dissolving things.
Yeah, maybe that would have made a good acronym, but I don't think I could come up with enough words to go with dissolve. But basically, our team members really want their lives simplified. I polled some of our managers the other day and asked them how many portals, how many dashboards, how many different websites they go to on a really regular basis to do their job. You want to guess a number, Paul?
Gosh.
You want to guess?
I'll give you a guess. I don't have anything to base it on, really, but I would say 5.
Oh, my goodness. You're not even warm. and we try not to add anything unless it integrates with our software so that there are fewer dashboards. But literally, to do their job, whether it's marketing or paying bills or all the different things they do, 40.
Oh, my gosh.
That almost all of our managers have to deal with, because we do a lot of things that don't integrate as do other companies. But I would say we, as part of our automate and eliminate, we typically won't go very far in a dialogue with a supplier partner if they don't integrate or don't have plans to integrate, because again, it adds another dashboard, another place our team members have to look or enter, or and that doesn't just feed somewhere. But 40, isn't that incredible?
That is incredible. That's astonishing. We've got about 3 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, kind of going back to just listening to what your employees have to say regarding pain points. Do you find that obviously, if they're going to serve on this board or this group in your Zoom meetings, they know that's what they're there to do. But sometimes, I've had a lot of our guests say that sometimes it's hard to get information from employees because they're afraid to make a complaint or they're afraid to put themselves out there. Any secrets that you can share on the best way to do that?
That's a really good question, and I think it's a right you have to earn over time. You have to demonstrate that you will handle the information people give you in a wise way, and that you're really willing to do something. Don't ask if you're not willing to do something. I'd love to tell you a story that we have a property that is for sale, and when a property's for sale, the team members, even if you offer a stay bonus and things like that, and we offer to help with practicing interviews and reviewing their resumes, things like that. But basically, it's a tough situation to be in. And we have a weekly call with that team so that we can hear what their concerns are, let them know what the brokers say back to us, if there's any feedback. And I was really proud of one of our managers, Melissa Munoz, who's been with us actually a long time. It's stressful for the property to be on the market. And because we got a load of renovation product back all at once, occupancy became a concern. Mm. It wasn't the team's fault, but the units had been held up, deadlines weren't met, and they now had a load of apartments to lease. And everybody was concerned, and leasing wasn't going as fast as the owners wanted, and the broker was commenting on it. And then when I say everyone, I mean everyone. The team was getting emails from the regional, from me, from our director of property management. We were all asking questions, making suggestions. We were actually trying to help, mm-hmm. but, you know, that it was overload, and we didn't realize it. And I was really proud of Melissa, the property manager, on one of our weekly calls about the sale and process and all that. At the end of the call, I said, okay, everybody, what can we do to help you all? What can we do to help? She spoke up very, very bravely for her team. And she actually said it would help a lot if there were fewer emails and suggestions, and we just let them do what they know how to do, which is lease. She said they were spending so much time answering questions and analyzing questions that it was really keeping them from doing their job. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, Paul, that was a wow to me. So I think listen to your employees is number one. And make sure they feel safe answering, and then do what you need to do. So here's the rest of that story. We backed off. We absolutely backed off. We told her she was right, and we apologized to the team. Guess what? With fewer emails, questions, suggestions, they went in 3 weeks from 89% occupancy to 95%.
Wow.
Shazam.
Wow.
So we simplified. We eliminated some of these emails. We trusted them to do their job, and they did.
All right. Well, we are going to leave it here. We are going to be back right after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Your multifamily property's water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
We are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily overload, time to simplify, eliminate, and automate. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the awesome Mary Gwynn, the chief innovator at Apartment Dynamics. I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. Mary, during the break, we were talking about how the SEA, Simplify, Eliminate, and Automate, affects people and people who either are choosing to or end up leaving after 90 days. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, and the Harvard Business Review did a study, and they found that 30% of people in all industries leave within that first 90 days. And that's when, as trainers, as onboarders, as everything, we've actually worked the hardest to get people acclimated and trained. And yet, after that first 90 days, or maybe some companies just kind of throw you in and let you swim. I would admit we used to do that back in the day, but we learned we had better success with a strong training and mentoring program. But after that first 90 days, the team members may still not know fully what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not really necessarily comfortable in their roles and may not really know where to go for help. And that's a stressor. So from the employer's point of view, you've trained them, you think, set it and forget it. but what you have to do is have ongoing training. And I'm really proud of our mentor of mentors and our team trainer who figured out a way to help with that problem of people being out there and feeling like they no longer had support. You know, the manager's day, a day in the life of a property manager, Paul, It is just fraught with chaos that'll throw you off track. You may come in with a plan for each day, but then, hey, the sewer line broke, or even good things like leasing traffic is wonderfully heavy, and you don't want people ignoring that because they've got a report to do or something, or you have unhappy residents that you have to take the time to help with, or God forbid you have all of those all in one day. And so suddenly whatever they were supposed to do that day falls under the radar. So Angela, our training team coordinator, and as I said, mentor of mentors, came up with a system of emails that's triggered by the calendar tasks that the site team members are responsible for. And that's a long way of saying, so on the first of the month, they get this, all our team members on site get a brief peppy reminder to move the calendar forward and charge rent. Mm-hmm. It has a snapshot of how to do it, a link to a very brief video that reminds them the steps if they're like new and don't remember and have never done it before. And then every day of the month that there's a required task, they get another automated reminder and a link to a short Loom video. And so as they're touching all this over 40 apps and websites and portals and dashboards that we talked about earlier, they have a reminder that today, hey, you're supposed to file court evictions. Well, here's the portal you go to, and here's how you do it, and it's brief and peppy, and Angela ends with, call me if you need additional help. So it's like this, it's like keeping you on the rails all month long, and it's perpetual.
We've got about 5 minutes left in this segment. I wanted to ask you, because the 90-day mark that you had indicated was, you know, 60% or whatever the number was, that people leave within that first 90 days, there's a cost for that, a financial cost. If you continue to have a revolving door of people coming and going, and it sounds like what you're putting in place has caused, at least in the case of your company, you to be able to get that way, way down. So have you ever determined what that cost is, or do you have any estimates or that you could throw out there that what it costs to have an employee on board for 90 days and then leave?
I've read studies about it. I know it is really costly in a lot of different ways. It is not just costly in terms of the pure dollars of hiring and training time and all that. It's costly in what it does to your PR on site. Mm-hmm. Residents come in and go, well, who are you and how long are you going to be here? Mm-hmm. And even if you had a superstar in that seat for 90 days, they don't finish, you know, that whatever they started doesn't get finished. It's just truly an expensive process. And I would say, because we do advertise all open positions, if they see, oh, that position was available 30, 60, 90 days ago, our own team members who are seeing that position posted again, they may start to question the company they work for. Even mm-hmm. if their experience is good, why can't we keep people? Yeah. You know, in other words, it's bad and costly on a myriad of levels and not just the hard cost.
Yeah, the morale that I guess can be affected by it is also something that can be very costly. So tell us a little bit about, once you've done this now, what type of results are you seeing?
We're tracking that to try to make sure it's having the impact we want. And so have me again talk about this the first of next year, and I should have some real data that tells you how many different initiatives we implemented. And, you know, if you can't measure it, it doesn't count. So
that's right.
We're measuring how many, you know, how does it impact our turnover and how many people stay longer? What is our days of employment? Because for us, we've really found if we can get people past the year mark, they almost stay for life. Even mm-hmm. if they leave after a few years, we have a high, high percentage of people who return. And again, I think it's because we're trying to listen. We're trying to respond to what they say their itches are.
Yeah, and I've got to say, I mean, we got about 1 minute left in this segment, but I've got to say that I've been very impressed with the way that you and your team and Tom, your husband, how you conduct your business. You guys are very prolific on LinkedIn, and I see posts throughout the year where you're making these site visits and, you know, kind of going on a road trip. And that's something that not a lot of people do as far as company wide. And I think that probably has a positive effect on your employees.
Well, thank you for that. I do think it's really, really important that everybody's listening, because again, as we said earlier on the call, the money is not made in the office I am in today. The money is mm-hmm. made or lost at the side office. And it takes everybody on our team to encourage, to help, to simplify, to see what those pain points are and try to eliminate them.
All right, well, we are going to break it here. We're going to be right back after these messages. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Well, We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we're discussing the topic of multifamily overload, time to simplify, eliminate, and automate. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the terrific Mary Gwynn, the chief innovator at Apartment Dynamics. I do want to take a moment and thank some of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Econserve, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. HappyCo, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. And Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. You know, Mary, we've talked a lot about some of the pain points that you have been able to discover from your site teams and office members. One of the things that we talk about a lot on the show is the issues with the maintenance role on property. That seems to be the biggest hole that people are trying to fill, at least on a national basis. I think before the pandemic, there was a 30-some-odd% turnover in maintenance role, and then after the pandemic, it's gone up over 50%, last numbers that I saw. So what are you finding with pain points and your maintenance roles within your organization?
Paul, that is a great question, and it is something I am passionate about, our maintenance teams, because really after that lease is signed, they are the face of our brand. And let's face it, on call is probably one of their biggest pain points. And our goal, as I said, is to reduce pain points and to listen to our team members. So I would definitely say on call is a pain point for those teams. And I can give you an example. Recently, a resident called in after hours after 9 p.m. and said her AC was out, and the tech on duty determined it was the outside unit and he didn't have the parts and wasn't able to fix it that night. The resident was livid. Mm. She was hot and angry. She yelled at him. She called the office and left a really foul, rude message on the property's voicemail. And then the next day, she called and yelled at me for a little while in very colorful language, language I will not use on this call. And she told me, we just didn't even need to bother to come fix her AC because she'd already called the news station. So we did go and fix it, of course, but I started thinking, you know, what is reasonable as far as emergencies? What are reasonable expectations for our residents to have? If you owned a house or a townhome or a condo, I don't think somebody would come out at 9 or 10 at night and spend a couple of hours and necessarily have the parts to fix your outside AC unit. I might be wrong, but I just doubt that really happens. In fact, I hear friends say, gosh, you know, your residents are so lucky. I'm waiting a week for somebody to come out for my AC. But also, I guess, what is reasonable for our maintenance team members? What is on our list now, and is it still the right on-call list? Our on-call list is probably the same one I used at my first job in the industry. So as part of SEA, Simplify, Eliminate, and Automate, we asked our maintenance team to rewrite the policy. Hmm. So we have a monthly maintenance call, and it's really interesting. That call, the maintenance team members talk a whole lot more than the managers do on the manager call. Those guys will really discuss what's on them. Maybe it's that we let them have the discussion and take it over. But it was amazing to me when we asked what their opinion was on on call, what's an emergency, what isn't, what should we change, what should we keep, what should we add. It was amazing to me the things that the maintenance team decided to keep on the list, the things they modified, but most of all, the things they simplified for themselves and hopefully for the residents. Tom, who you mentioned, who's mm-hmm. my husband and business partner, always says of how we take care of our residents, what would you want someone to do if it was your mom? And so our guys really thought that way. Here's an example. I'm sure people who are on site and work in this area know this question comes up over and over. Well, they called in because their toilet's not working, but they have two, and one is functioning, one is malfunctioning. Do you go out? Their refrigerator's out, but it's after 9 p.m. Do you go out that night, or do you say, you know, just keep the door closed and I'll come in the morning? There were so many different things. It was wonderful hearing the guys bat those ideas back and forth, have one guy say, well, I just always go out because even if you tell them you're coming the next day and why, they just want to feel that you're there. And other guys said, no, you know, just talk it through with them, explain to them why. So they came up at the end of an hour and a half or so, they came up with this great policy. And I was thrilled to be on the call because I was the note taker and regurgitated their notes back out to them. But they came up with a really reasonable policy. It took out a few things, added a few things. But that can't be where it stops. To make it really work, FEA requires a few other things, like making sure team members all understand the changes, but most of all, telling the residents, and then telling them again, and then telling them again and again. And so we came up with different things, like we are manufacturing. This just happened a couple of weeks ago, by the way.
Okay.
So it's new news. But we're doing refrigerator magnets that explain how to report an emergency and what constitutes one. And we always, in our apartment, put instructions, written instructions, in appropriate places for how residents can prevent emergencies from getting worse, like we have a little picture with righty tighty, lefty loosey, or if their water is running and they need to shut it off, and things like that. But we worked as a team. I hope I can't tell you yet. Have me next year, Paul. But the result is we listened to what the maintenance team's pain points were. They came up with the solutions, and we all work together to come up with a plan for how to implement them and hopefully solve their pain points, but also some of the residents' pain points.
We got about 2.5 minutes left in this segment, but what did you pick up? I'm just curious. What did you pick up, even though the call was just a couple of weeks ago, as far as after the call, in the attitudes of the people who were on the call? Were they proud? Were they excited about being able to be part of that process?
I think they were, and here's how I know it. We don't allow managers on the maintenance call. We used to, but they did a lot of talking, and they have a call.
Right.
So they're no longer allowed on the maintenance call. And a couple of the managers actually emailed me and said, wow, my guys are so excited about the changes. Here's what the lease says now. We'll have to change the lease as well as, or rules and regs or whatever it was. And she said, we just really thank you for making this happen. Well, I didn't make it happen. This team made it happen. But I got to hear some of the enthusiasm from the managers relaying their team members' thoughts. It was very gratifying.
Yeah, and that's...
So listen.
Yeah, that's such an easy thing to do. And I would imagine that as hard and as under such difficult circumstances as the maintenance teams have to work under, to be able to make suggestions to not only make their lives easier and better, but also for the residents. That is something that I think obviously is not common at a lot of places. So kudos to you guys for doing that. And I hope that continues. And certainly we're going to have you on again so we can get the results of this, because I believe that they're going to be very, very positive results. I'll tell you what, let's break it here. We are going to come back right after these messages with our final segment of this episode. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Smart is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
We're back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of multifamily overload, time to simplify, eliminate, and automate. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after educator and trainer, the fantastic Mary Gwynn, the chief innovator at Apartment Dynamics. I do want to take a moment and thank the rest of our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Balanced Asset Solutions, CPAs with expertise in multifamily property management. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Mary, we've talked in your acronym of SEA, which is Simplify, Eliminate, and Automate. We've talked a lot about simplifying and eliminating. Let's talk a little about automating. I know you mentioned that you did some automating within your accounts payable department. Talk about that and how that went.
So I have to give kudos to Tracy Beck, our Director of Strategic Operations. She, the first real big initiative was how we process invoices. So on site, our team members would get bills in the mail. They'd open the envelopes. They'd scan them. They'd code them. They'd whatever they had to do, approve them. And it's time consuming and probably a lot of paper cuts.
I would imagine. But,
yeah, and what happens on a really busy day is maybe that stack of mail piles up there and they get behind on doing their invoices. And that is really bad because then people don't get paid on time or there's a crisis, getting checks scanned and approved, all sorts of different things in the process, lots of people involved. So Tracy found a vendor partner where we could have the supplier partners just email or upload their invoices. It doesn't cost them to do that. Then the managers just code and approve them. They don't have to do all the scanning and opening and all that. Then there's the normal upper level review online and approving. And then our suppliers get paid either by ACH or cutting a check, whichever way they want to be paid. But with ACH, obviously, they get paid a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So it simplified the payables for our site team members, which is great. But it also cut time for our payables team that were printing checks and matching back invoices and stuffing envelopes and postage costs and paper cuts and all of that. So it's really been a win-win for our team. It gave everybody back time. It was very painful when we first went to it, and there was a little bit of resistance because a lot of people are adverse to change, but now we're rolling and it's working, and I think people they've already forgotten how much time they got back.
And let me ask you, the being adverse to change, I mean, this is just one thing that you did and that you put in place, that has to be an obstacle that you've got to try and work with employees. I mean, they're not wrong. They just are used to doing things a certain way. How do you deal with that?
That's a really good question, Paul. And what we found is when they are the ones asking for the change, they're a lot happier about it. There were some reports that we were having them send in daily, weekly, monthly that it was old reporting. It was no longer necessary for them to do it the way they were having to do it. And we were able to just automate it so that the reports that we needed weekly and monthly, our property management system just sends them to the appropriate people. So that's a little bit of time saved, but that was their idea.
Mm.
When you give them the opportunity to give ideas, they definitely embrace them. We maybe got one set of reports after that, but and then there's some other reports that the data was redundant, but it was a vestige of when we used to not have access to that data automated.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's things like that that we just have to kind of look at over and over. But our site team members, they're more aware of it. So if we listen to them, if we give them the opportunity to have input, I think it's the way for them to have buy-in as well.
Yeah.
But it is hard. Change is hard for people.
We've got about 4 minutes before I want to transition to something else, but I wanted to ask you, what are you finding as far as employees wanting something more, wanting to change roles, wanting to move from one role to another, and how are you working with that?
Well, I hope you don't mind that I keep throwing out statistics, but we really take seriously the survey results we see. And one of the things that is big for our team members is a career path. Swift Money did a survey that showed 34% of maintenance people want a different role in the next year, which I was shocked at that. Mm-hmm. That's over a third. And 75% of leasing professionals are interested in a different role in the next year. That one doesn't surprise me. And as an industry, we're seeing probably the highest turnover right now in leasing positions in the first year. So one of the recommendations is to make sure your team members have a career path and they know what it is. Well, we thought we'd done a fantastic job of that. We have these career paths and we talk about it at onboarding, and then we talk about it again every year. But when we looked at our Swift Money survey, what we found was a lot of our employees didn't know that they had a career path. They didn't know what the path was. So, number one, we're not doing as good a job communicating it as I think we are. And I'm glad we're asking because people are telling us. So what's the solution then? We're not making it simple enough for them to know what their career path is. And we have forms, we have mentoring spreadsheets, we have all this information that HR has and regionals and maybe a senior manager or mentor has. I think it becomes sort of like when you were in school and there was a mysterious permanent record. I think that's kind of what our career paths became. So we brainstormed, we huddled and said, well, why not just give each team member a printout of what their career path or training plan is and places for them to fill in the blanks or to make modifications in it. In other words, make it really simple for them. Make it very visible for them. Make it really easy for them to access rather than it being hidden on a portal at the home office. So that's our next C. Now, again, Paul, I apologize. We've just rolled that out. So I don't have data yet. And I love data.
I know. Well, we're going to consider this episode part one. And then we'll have part two after you've had a chance to compile some data and you come back and talk with our audience about what you found. One quick question. We got about 4 minutes left in this entire segment, and I want to transition to something. But one quick question. It seems like when you design a career path in the beginning with an employee, does that not depend on growth of a company and or turnover? For them to be able to continue to move forward, or how do you deal with that?
Paul, we probably are a contrarian on this. If somebody joins our company, and we've grown a lot, so there is more growth. In fact, we were 2,500 units about a year and a half ago. We're 6,500 now. Uh-huh. That's a lot of growth in a short period of time, and the reason we worked really hard to grow and grow strategically, but also possibly a little faster than we should have. We've absorbed and we're caught up, but there were definitely some growing pains. But our team members kept expressing that they loved the company, but there was nowhere to go or grow. So that was one of the reasons we have been focusing on strategic growth. But I would say, We think that each employee deserves a great career path and training plan, even if we're training them to leave us. Mm. And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it's not. We want each person to grow to be the best they can be. And if they outgrow us, we understand it. We only have so many bosses. There are only so many Tom and Marys at this company, and we have been able to grow team members. Some have grown from manager to regional or from regional to director within our company. So we try to give people in-house opportunities and promote from within. But ultimately, we want people to grow and be the best they can be. And that means they'll be the best they can be while they're with us, too.
And that's why you mentioned earlier that a lot of times when someone leaves, they return. That's probably the reason why.
Absolutely. And we do try to give them opportunities, even when they are staying in their same role, but they've grown. That's why a mentor program is really good. They get to do their current job, but they get the opportunity to help other people grow too, or And we're definitely, we promote people getting as much education as they can, getting professional designations and certifications, and really having the opportunity to grow either through in-house training or training elsewhere. We think it's really important.
Well, we've got about a minute left in the segment, and I wanted to tell us a little bit about what other things you're working on at Apartment Dynamics, as well as how can someone reach out to you if they have a question.
Apartment Dynamics, what we have going on, a lot of it is really doing what a lot of companies are doing this time of year, ending the leasing season strong and long, and focusing attention on what we've done numbers-wise this year and how we can do better numbers-wise next year. So it's a segue to budgeting fast and furious as soon as we're done with the leasing season. And to reach out to us, we love hearing from people. We have a website with a contact us page, and that's aptdynamics.com. And I can be reached either directly by phone, or which is on the website, or my email, which is mary@aptdynamics.com. And we love to hear from people. We're in a number of networking groups. We love to network with suppliers and property managers and investors and just learn more about what people are doing in the industry. Our industry, as you know, Paul, it changes every day.
It sure does.
And we love to change with it.
Yeah, it sure does. Also, for our listeners, if you go to this episode page on our website at multifamilyradio.com, there will be the Apartment Dynamics logo. You can click on it. It'll take you directly to the Apartment Dynamics website. So, Mary, we are definitely going to have you back with part two of this discussion after you've had the chance to compile the data so you can share it with our listeners. But we're going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.